All right, take three.
Hi, welcome to... Oh, God.
Take four.
Okay. Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Chris, and tonight I'm joined by Steve, Lauren, and Chris Sharps.
Hey, Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
Where's Lisa? Yeah.
Lisa's on a ship.
Lisa.
And yeah, she's on a ship. She's enjoying life. She decided to vacation without Steve for obvious reasons.
Probably a good
question. Oh, wait. Were you not told that? I'm
what?
Sorry. Forget that. Forget I said that, Steve.
Sounds like her life's in ship shape.
Yes, it is.
Sharpie.
That's right about now, she's probably gambling away the family fortune.
It could be.
And
that could be.
Probably had three or four glasses of wine.
No doubt. The kids are in the kids'
Maybe
club.
Even a shot of vodka.
Yes. The truth is, she's there with her brother, who's also a teetotaler. He doesn't drink at all, right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. So neither one of them are drinking. They're probably not gambling. They're probably playing some game like Parcheesi.
Trivia.
Uno. They're from up in Chicago. They play a lot of Uno up there, right?
Yes.
It's a Midwestern thing.
Mm-hmm.
No, people will confirm that, Steve. It's true.
Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, what's tonight's topic?
Tonight's topic is listener questions, and we're going to talk about the new Frozen attraction coming to Norway. I think Chris Sharps is going to do that.
Oh, indeed I am. So this conversation starts several months ago when Disney had approached Norway to renew their kind of contractual obligation with the Norway Pavilion to the tune of roughly $9 million to update and maintain the pavilion.
Wow.
And at that point, Norway was kind of back offish.
Back offish.
Yeah.
That's an awesome word.
Back offish. I kind of liked it.
It seemed
rather appropriate. Mm-hmm. But it turns out that Norway was kind of in the mood to let it go.
God, that was predictable.
Oh my goodness.
So, so as you can imagine, what's that, Lauren?
I was going to say, I think we need to call you Olaf from now on.
Oh, I do like warm hugs.
I walked right into that one.
Yes.
But I don't have a carrot for a nose. But anyway,
you can't prove that. There aren't any pictures of you up on the Mouse Chat page.
That's very true. Yeah,
that's a valid point.
I guess we'll have to come to the Mouse Chat meetup next month.
Exactly. Then we can prove that you don't have a nose. Made out of a carrot.
I am not the true Olaf. Anyway, so back to the pavilion. So as you can imagine, Disney was approaching Norway at this particular juncture because of their wildly successful movie Frozen, which is based on the storybook fabled Arendelle. It's important to note that Frozen was Disney's first animated release after Toy Story 3. To crack the $400 million mark as far as domestic ticket sales go. And the only one that had done it before that was The Lion King. So you can imagine Disney is wildly motivated to get this attraction into the parks. So whenever Norway decided not to enter into the contract to update and maintain the pavilion, Disney has decided to take it in the direction of Frozen. So Maelstrom will become a Frozen-themed attraction.
So wait, so they did not renew?
To my knowledge, everything that I've researched and done, Norway did not renew their obligation to keep it updated, keep it maintained, and pay for the staffing.
Okay.
So, I mean, there may be additional layers to that onion, but from everything that I've been able to gather, Norway did not renew their contract with that, which kind of opens up World Showcase in a way that you could start to see some other attractions start or other pavilions start to take on a bit more of a character life
instead of the
real country and its cultural ambassadors
and
around the world.
I have an opinion on that, shockingly.
Go ahead.
I think that Disney's messing up with that.
I
love the Frozen attraction. I get the Norway connection. But I think that if you start to do that over there, you're going to change the dynamics of that part of Epcot.
I agree. I because a lot of adults are specifically attracted to that area of Epcot because it is cultural. It is immersive in a way.
Yep.
But is the World's Fair shtick still attractive to adults? That's a great question.
Yeah. That's interesting.
I mean, it's always packed in there.
That's very, very true.
Right. But you know what? Why do you go to Epcot? You go to Epcot to eat
there's alcohol.
And hang out. Exactly.
Well, yeah.
We know what Lauren's motivation is.
Did I say that out loud?
Well, all right. So they're going to make it... They're going to make it into a Frozen attraction, so they'll take the boat ride and make it a Frozen
ride. Actually kind of making it a Frozen village.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not just going to be the Maelstrom attraction. There's going to be a royal meet and greet with Anna and Elsa, and they've already lost quite a bit of the retail space from the Norway store to make room for Anna and Elsa. So I think you're going to see that whole era, which really brings the question, what's going to happen to Acres Hoos?
It'll be a restaurant that you eat with Anna and Elsa.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know.
They need that other princess restaurant there.
I agree.
Unless they're doing something we don't know about to the castle. You know what I mean?
Which, like, it is under renovation.
It's under renovation January through March, so.
Yeah.
It's possible.
It's interesting. So if a country doesn't renew, what do they do with it? Because it's not like it's still France. So the country still gets the promotion of France or Norway or whatever, because they're not going to just rip it out and put.
But they don't have a voice in shaping the message, though.
Yeah.
I mean, they could make it Ratatouille Land for all intents and purposes over in France.
Hey, yeah, that's a great idea, actually. Yeah.
Morocco could become home to Aladdin and Jasmine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got all of these options.
Yeah, it's true.
France could be Belle.
But instead of getting $9 million for the contract, now they're not getting the money and they have an expense to put something
They're going to spend $9 million.
Yeah, but you know what? They're gonna more than going to pay for it with all the little Frozen fans.
So like you said, I mean, if you're a Disney nerd, you're probably thinking, I like Epcot the way it was when it opened and 1980, and it had the edutainment thing going on.
That is an awesome word. Did you learn that from your Disney nerd friends?
I did. We talk about this all the time.
It was on his calendar of the words today.
It was Pee Wee Herman.
Edutainment.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's like education and entertainment mixed together there, Chris.
You should use that in your work meetings.
I do. So, yes. but that's what the whole feel was, but that's kind of gone by the wayside when they took the Living Seas and added Nemo and all that.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Can I speak as someone who's not really a hardcore like Epcot fan? I think it's a great idea.
Well, I think if they kept it the way it was, they had to change it.
Yeah.
Or else it wouldn't have survived. But now the only thing which I didn't even think of is I like World Showcase as an adult. It's
Me
like
too.
Future World is like adult kid area. And then Future World is let's go walk around, eat. And have something to drink, and let's skip Norway because now it's frozen.
Do you ever do anything at Norway though? Now nobody rides mail.
That's the thing. Yeah,
it was interesting to me that because I'm on a few like Facebook pages for Disney nerds, and they were like, "Oh my god, they're getting rid of Maelstrom," and I'm like, I'm sure like 3 months ago, if you had asked any of these people, none of them have been on it for a while. It's a pretty bad ride.
I know. It used to be the ride.
Yes. I like the thought of what they're doing with it. I just don't like the thought of it turning into a character thing all the time. I'm not okay with that.
Yeah.
I think it's going to lose its luster.
Well, I'm afraid that if they do this to multiple pavilions, that it's going to lose its cultural value.
Yes.
And I mean, far be it for me to declare Epcot to be high culture. But,
wait a minute, it's not?
It is for me.
but it is, I think for a lot of families with younger children who traveling the world would be a goal, but it's just not in the budget. I think Epcot has kind of been that great alternative to have those cultural experiences and a little bit of immersion, but without the expense of of globetrotting. I mean, I know that yeah. may or may not be true for everyone.
Plus ice cream. Ice cream is involved.
Yeah.
That's it's important.
Great
it's
ice
a lot
cream.
Of, yeah, it's, yeah, I see the point because it's, yeah, I don't know. And the positives I think that Disney are doing now is, you know, when Little Mermaid came out, it was like 20 years until they built a ride. At least now Disney's capitalizing on, okay, this is a success. It's going to do well. Let's take the risk. They're not like building a dedicated ride, so they don't have that expense. So I'm kind of always disappointed that they're kind of stuck. You know, they're going to keep the exact same ride track, I'm sure. And it's going to have all of that because they won't spend the money. It'll have the same theater at the end, and then they'll just redo all those elements.
Well, and that theater area is probably going to be where the meet and greet is.
Well, no, I believe they're retooling the line to go in reverse now.
Oh, so they're going to make, so you'll see the movie.
Yes. So you'll have a much longer queue and a much shorter exit space.
Which makes sense.
Because let's face it, the queue for Maelstrom isn't very long.
Well, and everyone wants to skip the movie. So the movie makes a better pre-show element anyways. And then you get to go through there. Then you would board in their village, which would be nice because that's where you exit, and then the ride would go in reverse. So it would be cool. I'm glad to see something new.
But that's not supposed to come out till what, 2016, right?
Correct.
It's got
to
be a while.
And here's the question: is Frozen going to be as big of a hit then as it is now?
Probably. Look at Little Mermaid. You still have little girls who weren't even thought about when Little Mermaid came out, who were obsessed with that movie. Cinderella, huge.
Very true.
Any of the princess stuff, I think, has staying power, especially, I mean, they're classic stories. They're beautiful to look at. They're not going anywhere. It's not like Lilo and Stitch, you know, which kind of, you know, is there, but no one really cares about. Except the person who's going to email me when this show comes out and tells me how wonderful Lilo and Stitch is.
Yeah, because you don't want to turn China. You don't want to do China as Mulan.
Wait a minute. I think that's a brilliant idea. I'm kidding.
It's Mulan meet and greets.
There is a Mulan meet and greet there. What are you talking about?
Oh, great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. We'll have to see. I'm sure I'm going to like the ride, but I don't want to see that as a trend where all of that turns into meet and greets and character dinings and let's take the existing ride and put a little bit of money into it and rethink.
And we all know that as soon as it comes out, we're all going to run over there to see it.
I know.
You know?
It's going to be very popular. Well, and the kids are going
to love
it.
There's not one of us that would say anything to the contrary.
I mean, look at the line they have for Anna and Elsa now. It's like 4 hours,
ridiculous.
6 hours. It's ridiculous.
It's actually gotten a little better.
You can't even get fast passes for it, as Lauren can attest to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of times, though, whenever something new comes out, we always complain about it. We're like, no, I don't like this. And then it comes out and we're like, oh, it was awesome. Oh,
I like it.
Yeah.
Like the light show on the castle, which I initially thought was the worst thing ever.
I love
which
that.
Now I,
oh,
it's
so
the only
they,
nighttime show that I like.
What are they doing new with Anna and Elsa with the castle?
So, you know how now, okay, so they have all the castle lights on. And during the Christmas season at dusk, and it's usually around 6:30 at night, the fairy godmother comes out and she lights the castle for Cinderella. She decorates it for her. So now instead of the fairy godmother coming out, Elsa's going to come out and light it with her sparkly
icicles.
Which
I think is cute.
It's very cute. It's very cute. And it kind of works better, I think.
Hmm.
And there are going to be lots of happy little girls.
Do you think they made the movie Frozen just to give someone better to light the castle at Christmas?
You're so cynical. No, I think that they had no idea that it was going to be this friggin' big.
And here's a question I have. Do you think they're going to re-release like the sing-along version of Frozen around Christmas this year to theaters? Do you think they'll do it?
I think they will. And you know what's funny, Steve? So we got to see this movie on the Magic the night it came out. And I remember at the time thinking, this was just okay.
It was, we saw it at midnight, 3D.
The 3D was kind of cool.
The night it was released on the Disney Magic Cruise Line. And I thought it was good. But your comment was, this music's awful.
I hated the music.
I hated
the music. It so much.
It's horrible. And then it's like the
just
most
gave
popular
us all something
music
to do to
ever.
Christmas.
Yeah. You know what? It grew on me, though. You know what it grew on me? When the kids started
The kids like picked singing it up instantly.
Yes.
The kids loved it.
And when you hear your kids sing those songs, it's kind of hard not to enjoy it. But yeah.
You so. Also enjoyed it more when I sang it too, didn't you, Chris? You can own it now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was trying to keep that a secret, but yeah, now everybody knows. I was having trouble sleeping that night.
I knew that.
Exactly.
Yeah, the kids love the music. So, listener questions?
Yes. Okay, so I want to thank everyone who wrote a listener question on our Facebook page. And if we don't get to you, it's because we got so many of them. So we're just going to try to get a few of them here, as many as we can. And I'll start out with something that's actually related to what we were just talking about. What do you all think? And this is from Elizabeth Charland. And she says, what do you all think about the changes coming to Epcot? Bye-bye, Off-Kilter, Fife and Drum, World Showcase Players, Mo Rockin', and Maelstrom. What do you think?
Well, we covered
I give a huge boo to the disappearance of the Fife and Drum.
And I know you were crying about that belly dancer being gone.
No.
Oh, wait. I didn't hear about that one.
What belly dancer?
I think she's gone, too, in Morocco, Steve.
There's a belly dancer in Morocco? We got to go.
Yes. You missed out on it. Sorry.
Is it the one that's with dinner?
There's always been one at Restaurant Marrakesh.
There used to be a lady who would come outside. I know because my now 12-year-old thought it was the best thing ever.
Oh, he should write a letter. Send a text. You know, I don't... all those little extra things of entertainment are kind of what make those little extra fun moments, especially for locals and people that go frequently and want to see something different and just get a beer and listen to some music or see a show or something slightly different that's not always the same.
And I think the musical entertainment provides such a backdrop to each pavilion.
Yeah.
It does.
Like for Off-Kilter to be going to, that's going to be a loss.
I just don't know why they're getting rid of all of these all at once.
It's expense, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's not like they said, and we're, you know, having auditions and they're all being replaced with other bands.
Well, they are being replaced with other acts.
But they're all like a guy with a monkey or something. They're all like.
Well, people love monkeys. Especially in France.
But I think, weren't they all like being replaced by like a juggler or something? I mean, they were like single person acts, weren't they?
No, one of them, at least one, and I can't remember which one it was. I think it was in the UK. Is a musical act.
Okay.
And in Morocco, too, they're bringing in, like, traditional Berber dancers and musicians. So I think that actually sounds interesting. I don't know. The one that surprised me was Off-Kilter because they have such a, like, very strong local following. So maybe there were negotiations that didn't work out. Off-Kilter asked for more kilts. Give me more kilts.
Could be.
Okay. I mean, it couldn't be that bad because they don't have an underwear budget, right?
You know what? According to my research, no. I'm kidding. I have no idea. I used to just walk by and ignore them. I'd be like, hey, bagpipes are annoying.
You're the reason why they're gone.
Yes.
Yep. So, if you're upset that Off-Kilter is leaving, just blame Chris Wood.
Exactly. Yep. Although now I'm wondering about the underwear. Okay, let's get to the next one. This one comes from Natalie Hubbard Baxter, and she says, in honor of the Haunted Mansion anniversary, what would be your favorite part of the ride? Has anyone ridden Haunted Mansion at Disneyland? If so, were you able to see the overlay? We've all done it, right? Except for Chris Sharps. Have you seen the overlay?
I haven't seen the overlay.
Chris Sharps hasn't seen it either? The overlay is amazing.
It is.
If you haven't seen it, you got to do it. It's a completely new ride. It's not like they just put a few little Nightmare Before Christmas things in there. They have completely redone it from beginning to end.
And I didn't realize that the first time I went in. I thought they maybe had like a few little odds and ends, but it's completely redone.
You mean like the Jungle Cruise overlay last year?
Oh, nothing like that.
That was phenomenal. What do you mean?
When do they put it out in Disneyland?
Should be up now,
September.
Right?
Yeah, like late September, and then they keep it up through maybe Christmas. The 8th or 9th of January.
Because I think they actually get it ready for the Halloween season.
Yep, and then it runs all the way through Christmas.
It's amazing. That overlay and the one in, Well, they're It's a Small World is so much better than ours anyway.
Yeah, they Absolutely. Do an overlay for Small World for Christmas.
But it's good, too. And I have a picture of my name on the naughty list. Your name's on there, too, Steve.
What?
It is the naughty list. When you go through It's a Small World, there's a big list, and my name is at the top of the list, I swear to God. But your name is, like, number 3.
What?
I took a picture of it. I'll show you.
Oh, yeah. This is not good.
Yeah. So...
Like, you're surprised you're on the naughty list.
I know, right? That explains why I never get anything good for Christmas. All right. Okay, so she also asked, what's your favorite part of the ride?
At Haunted Mansion and Disney World.
Or Land. Hmm. They're pretty much the same, right? Oh, the attic. The attic's
the new attic is pretty...
Yeah.
It's pretty spectacular. And then, of course, everybody likes the dining room scene with the...
Oh, that's the dining room scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I always like to count all the bride's husbands because, like, I always forget how many she's been married to. So I'll go through there and I'll be like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Chris does that at home with her husband, too.
Right? There are days. Okay. Are we ready for the next one? Okay, here's a good one. This is from Steve Yaddo. And I think this is something a lot of people wonder about. When do they usually announce specials for January and February? Lauren?
October,
yeah. Sometimes into November. So.
Yeah, probably like 3 weeks or so we'll see something come out.
Yeah. I just got that question today, actually. Okay. How about this one? And I know this is one that Lauren has addressed a lot of times, too. This is from Anne Fay, and she says... Do you know how strict Disney is with their height policy? My son is 39 inches barefoot, maybe 40 with shoes. We go in December. He wants to ride Big Thunder Mountain.
Big Thunder Mountain's not that
tall. It's 40 inches.
40 inches, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he'll be fine.
Wear thick, thick socks and big tennis shoes. And stand
up. Yeah, like a sneaker with a little bit of a lift in it.
Yeah, if they're super close, you just don't want like... Sometimes our kids would be in flip-flops, and they're very close to not making it. And, of course, with flip-flops, they wouldn't make it. So you always got to make sure they have sneakers and socks on and if they're going to be right at the height limit.
Okay, here's a good one. And we have talked about this a lot last month while we were down there. Mark and Debbie Yider write, Coronado Springs or Caribbean Beach? In the new rooms that house 5, she says, if you had to pick between the two, which ones?
Ooh, yeah. So they have new rooms, like they said, that sleep 5. So those rooms, if you get one of those, they're going to be brand new and they're completely refurbished, completely redone. They look really nice. But the things we did not like about Caribbean Beach was the food
Everything
court.
Everything else.
Yeah.
Food court was horrible.
Food court was not good. No, the pool area is nice.
The size of it. The pool was nice.
That one pool with the cannons and all that kind of pirate theming is nice. But the one at Coronado Springs is nicer from our...
I like the pool there.
Yeah, from our previous show, the one that's the week before this, we talk about that pool. I like Coronado better just overall.
Me too.
Personally.
Me too.
Yeah.
The rooms, I think the rooms look better overall. I think the amenities are better there.
Yeah.
Me too.
They both have multiple bus stops, which kind of stinks, and that's a big turnoff for me. But
Caribbean Beach has more, though.
Do they really? Good
they
Lord.
Do.
Aren't there like 5 at Coronado?
There's 5 at Coronado, and I believe there's, I think it's actually 4 at Coronado and 6 at Caribbean Beach.
Okay. Wow.
It's a lot more. It's not a lot more. It's only 2 more. It's not like it's a big deal, but.
Still, I mean, yeah. You know, those multiple bus stops.
Well, they get you late at night
yeah.
when you're like the last
yeah.
one.
Which we were.
Or when it's the last bus pickup that you're at and you are the last one to get on, the bus is full.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, either
that's
way.
That's the worst.
That's definitely something to consider at those. You know, in some ways, that's why I like the values better.
Or French Quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, French Quarter is a nice resort for a moderate because it's small, a little quainer.
Okay.
Yeah, it's my favorite.
All right, let's try this next one. Emily Root writes, hey, Mouse Chat, I'm a big fan of you guys. Listening to your podcast makes my study hall seem less awful and boring. Thank you very much.
They still have study hall?
I think so, Steve. yours wasn't study hall, though. It was like...
It was called detention.
Detention.
Maybe yeah, call it, that's, I thought, that's more Steve's speed.
Steve, you know what? The truth is, Steve never... We already had this discussion. Steve never got into trouble at school, which I find extremely weird.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
But what strange. Is she saying about study hall?
Okay. She says... I was wondering if you guys have ever been to the D23 Expo. I am planning on going next year, but it will be my first time going, and I don't know what to expect. We've actually never been, none of us. I think Steve and I, didn't we plan on going one year or something, and then we never went?
Yeah. We've wanted to go.
Yeah.
From other people we've talked to, Disney fans and nerds, the thing that shied me away from it was the wait. Times.
Yeah, it sounds crazy.
I mean, there were people waiting in lines for hours before the doors opened to get into the general session, and the photographs of the lines were ridiculous. I mean, they went on and on and on.
Well, and also I think that, you know, it'll be hard to live up to that year that they announced the Fantasyland expansion, because the next one after that was a big dud.
Yeah.
You know, like the most recent D23 wasn't all that well-received.
Yeah, they had one that was spectacular because they had all this great news. Yeah, and then like Chris said, the next one, everyone's like, okay, they're going to announce Toy Story over it, or they're going to announce Cars Land at Disney World, or they're going to announce Star Wars, and they didn't announce anything.
Can we get a booth next time, please?
A booth?
Yes, please.
At D23?
Don't you get booths? Can't you get one?
You can get a booth for... We almost got a Pixie Vacations booth at D23, but then you're not going to any of the stuff. You're standing at the booth for 8 hours.
Yeah, that's true.
And that defeats the purpose of going.
You're a vendor standing at a booth with the other vendors selling Disney memorabilia and...
I've been a D23 member for several years now, and we had planned to go to an event that they were planning for July of 2014. But then, like a month after they announced the event, after we'd already booked our hotel and everything, then they canceled the event and moved it out to Anaheim. So it's like every time we get ready to do something with D23, it's like, oh, no, sorry, nothing. And then they had... like a, I would consider it a pretty lame exhibit on the member cruise, on the DVC member cruise last year.
Yeah.
And it was like three or four items on display, like the helmet from the Rocketeer. And it was cool, but sorry.
Yeah. If you're a local in Atlanta or Orlando or Anaheim, the D23 membership, they have, you know, like first... You know, when the Fire and Rescue came out, they had tickets that D23 members could get to go see that, and, you know, go see that before it was in the theaters. Or they'll have a meetup with Bob Gurr at House of Blues. We did that once. So they have, like, local events, but if you're not a local, it's kind of hard to sign up for them and go in a week or 2 weeks or be there. And then the conference, we said, you could sign up for that in advance, and that's, you know, over at the convention center. But the lines just seemed absurd, and I never heard of anything cool that's coming out. You know, maybe next year with all the stuff at Animal Kingdom, they'll release some more stuff.
I can't wait.
They need to have the D23 convention in Florida. Let's just get real.
That would be nice, because you could have a much larger...
Instead of always having it on the West Coast.
Yeah, they should move it. And you could have a huge convention center instead of the Anaheim one, which I think is part of the problem, because people can't get into some of the things because
it's not very big.
Yeah, the seating space for the general assembly type thing is not enough for the demand. So
I've done events at that convention center. It's just not spacious. It's because it's landlocked. So, I mean, it's not an extremely large convention center to start with.
And Orlando has massive ones. So even Disney World at the Coronado Springs or Contemporary or something would be able to hold more people, I would think. Okay.
Okay. Kyle Dykstra Tai Chow. Sorry, I can't pronounce that. Writes to us and says, hi, if you are renting DVC points, does the owner have to get our dining plan for us, or can we get it ourselves? we have our reservation and everything tied to My Disney Experience. That's a pretty simple question. Anything, like you can make your own dining reservations, of course, just like you would if you were working with a travel agent. You can do your own Magical Express, but anything connected to the reservation, for example, adding tickets associated with the reservation or your dining plan is going to have to be added by the owner. So they won't actually, Disney won't actually talk to you.
Because in their eyes, you don't exist.
Right. That's exactly true. So if anything goes wrong, the owner's going to talk to them.
Which is also an associated risk with renting DVC points.
Yes. Well, and especially that's what for owners. That's what she's doing. You know, she's renting. And it's interesting because I just had this conversation today with a potential client about renting. And, you know, the reason renting is cheaper is because there's a lot of risk involved. So, okay. How about the next one? This comes from Caroline Arena, and she writes, "Hi, Mouse Chat. I love, love, love your podcast. Thank you for bringing us some Disney magic every week, and thank you for listening. Here's my question. I love all the different snacks throughout Walt Disney World. I was wondering what your favorite snacks are at the four different parks. Thanks so much, and keep up the great work." That's super easy, because we all love to snack. Except for Animal Kingdom, I could not tell you.
I have nothing there.
Oh, see, I do. Cinnamon,
does not surprise me.
The cinnamon crusted nuts. I know that that Chris Wood or Lisa just a couple weeks ago was complaining about the cinnamon nuts, that they never taste as good as they smell.
Yes.
But oh, they're amazing. They're fantastic.
They're a little stale.
They're good if you can get them hot and fresh and not that have been sitting there just like out of the fridge that they just
Because the humidity is not friendly to
you. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, is that what is that why they're all always kind of
Like
stale and
kind of
soft.
Gummy. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's not good.
Because they're supposed to be crunchy, but the humidity makes them gummy pretty quickly.
Yep.
So, do you want to go first, Steve, since you never get to go first?
What
are your favorite snacks?
My standard go-to snack, well, the Dole Whip or the orange citrus swirl are very good. So I think that's one of my, and then also I like that toffee.
Oh, the toffee's good.
The toffee with the nuts?
Yes.
Toffee with the nuts is pretty good. I like the look of the cupcakes, but I can't eat a whole one, and sometimes I just, it's just too much frosting or
too sugary. So
I probably skip the cupcakes. I don't know. Those are my two. Now, sometimes I'll get like the straw over at Big Top Souvenirs. I'll get
you like the pineapple dipped in chocolate.
Pineapple dipped in chocolate with the dark chocolate on it, or some strawberries, maybe even dipped in chocolate or something like that. They have some good things over there. I don't know. Those are my go-to snacks.
Okay, Lauren?
So in Magic Kingdom, my favorite would be the waffle with the Nutella, with the fresh fruit over at...
I've never had that.
Sleepy Hollow?
That.
Oh my God, it's so good.
We'll have to get that next time and we'll share it with you because it's really too much for
it's
one
really
person.
It's really good. It really is. You just need like one little.
I didn't even know it was
it.
There
so
until you guys started talking about it because it's kind of hidden. I've never been in that.
Yeah.
So what kind of
you've eaten
is on
there
it?
Before.
You can either get, you can get all of them, bananas, blueberries, and strawberries. I usually just do the Nutella with bananas.
Oh, I bet that's good.
It's my favorite. So that's my favorite there. I have nothing in Animal Kingdom. In Hollywood Studios, you know what I love in Hollywood Studios? Over by, and I don't know the name of the stand, over by Tower of Terror, they have that little ice cream stand. And they have vanilla ice cream with warm apples on top. That is so good.
I have
no idea what it's called, but they have that and a brownie sundae there, and that's it.
That's the where you walk up to the window.
Yes.
Where all the food is outside.
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
And then I also like in Epcot. I've got a couple in Epcot. Some are liquid though. I like the Cronut, of course.
Oh, that's true.
The Cronut's good. Port.
Epcot's got a lot of good things.
And the Grand Marnier. Grey Goose, the orange slushy thing.
Yeah.
And margaritas in Mexico. You can't go wrong there.
Yep.
Those are my favorite snacks. They're my go-tos.
Oh, that's good. A lot of good things in Epcot.
How about you, Chris Sharps?
Oh, I'm gonna start with the Magic Kingdom. Anyone could pinpoint me on my favorite Magic Kingdom snack. It's usually yellow, twisted with vanilla.
Yummy.
Small paper cup. Yeah, you've got it. Vanilla pineapple Dole Whip. Amazing, amazing, amazing. At Epcot, I really, really, really do love the chocolate croissant in France. It's the croissant with like chocolate baked into it. It's pretty amazing.
I haven't had that.
Oh, it's really good. It's delicious.
And that pavilion, that's a good pavilion for pretty much all kinds of great desserts and snacks. That little bakery in the back at France.
Hollywood Studios, the tiramisu at Starring Rolls.
Oh, I haven't had that.
Oh, it's pretty amazing. And then at Animal Kingdom, the crunchy nuts. So that's all four parks for me.
Okay. For me, it's going to have to be the carrot cake cookie at Hollywood Studios. Mm-hmm. I don't really have one at Animal Kingdom. Epcot, salted caramel ice cream in France. Ooh. And in the Magic Kingdom, it's got to be the citrus roll.
Pretty good.
Mm. Yes. Yum. Yummy. Okay, let's get to the next one here. With all the... Okay, let's start this over. When will all the construction be done in the Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Animal Kingdom, and Downtown Disney and Disney Springs? I think that's like the best question ever, except nobody knows. No
one knows. I have the answer to that.
Do you really?
Oh.
I have a definitive
answer. Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Never. Exactly. Never. They will never finish construction at Walt Disney World. Something will always be under renovation. Something will always be being built. We're coming to the age where some things may start to be torn down. Because the park's getting on in years, especially in terms of physical structures and maintainability and serviceability. So you never know.
Yeah, Downtown Disney.
Construction will never finish.
Yeah.
I mean, it's next summer, right, for Downtown Disney, or is it?
It's, well, the parking garage looks, I saw some photos, and it's actually up, and it looks like it's close, but I'm sure they have to put all the roads in and do a lot more. They have that co-op open that looks extremely cool that I still haven't been to. And then they have to redo, you know, each section little by little. So they have at least another year. If not two over at Downtown Disney. But it's good because then you get all the new things. You get all the new little bungalows over at Polynesian, and you'll have the new lobby.
Well, that's all supposed to be done in March, right?
That's what they're saying. Well, but you know what? Is the DVC portion going to be done? Because usually
it
when...
done, but I can't believe that everything will be done.
I don't think DVC, because they haven't started selling points. Or there's no gossip that I've heard about them when they'll start selling points. So maybe
they have to convert all those existing buildings that they want to DVC, and then they got to put the Trader Sam's in the lobby, which they're probably working on now,
which will kind of be awesome. I'm
That's
excited
awesome.
About that.
I can't wait to go there. That's going to be really
we
cool.
Should go and have that one funny drink that was so disgusting. Do you remember that?
There's no such thing.
He had like three sips.
Really?
Don't act all manly.
Did you see what they're going to do? They're going to have a giant clamshell that your drinks come out of.
Okay, that's awesome.
And you know that'll only work for like the first 3 months. So you better get...
It'll be like the Yeti. Maybe you'll have a disco clamshell.
No,
like a
it'll
disco
be like
Yeti.
It'll be a clamshell that has like a pearl-shaped drink that comes out when it opens up.
Have you been hallucinating again?
So you better get one of those pearl-shaped drink cups, because there'll only be probably like 100 of them until that whole thing...
That's awesome. We're going there as soon as they open.
Until that thing falls apart. And then it'll just be a clamshell with a little hula girl skirt sitting in it or something open. That's my prediction.
I think you're probably right. Okay, here's another one. And actually, this is a really, really good one. And there's a really simple answer too. Monica Pinto writes, if I make fast passes but decide not to use them, does anything happen? What if I make fast passes for our group but I don't want to go on those attractions? For example, I can't ride Soarin', but the rest of my party does. What happens to my Fast Pass?
Everybody else has to wait in line until you show up.
Right. No, they charge you $10 per fast pass. Not really. Okay, Monica, we're teasing. Nothing happens. It's like it never happened. There's no penalty like there is with dining. But I think that's a good question because I actually get that every now and then. So good question.
Can you for the next one? Can you do a Lauren or Chris Sharp's?
I will.
Themed one.
Okay. I will. Okay. Okay. I don't know if we can answer this or not. But Pip writes, what are the weirdest things you have ever heard said at Walt Disney World? And I actually love this question. Unfortunately, I can't remember any of the weird things, but I've heard some really weird ones. Chris Sharps, do you know of any?
Yes. Jesse and I were taking the monorail to Epcot. And there was a young couple. I couldn't really discern their dialect. I don't know where they were from, but we were able to make out in the conversation as to which stop would Universal be.
Nice.
And we were both getting off the monorail, feeling horrible that they were ready, that they had just circled Spaceship Earth through Epcot.
Oh.
And we're headed back to the Magic Kingdom.
Why didn't you tell them?
Because we were getting off. And
oh,
like,
okay.
Because we couldn't really understand what they were saying. Oh, my gosh.
Nice.
I have felt bad for that for a couple years now.
Wow.
But I also laugh about it pretty regularly.
What about you, Lauren? Any good ones?
Nothing that I could think of off the top of my head.
A lot of the good ones I have to do with people saying things like, is this how I get to Universal? You know, things like that.
Yeah.
But,
or does the monorail take me to Universal?
Or I swear to God, if you don't stop that, I'm going to divorce you. I mean, to be quite honest, you do sometimes hear like little marital squabbles, like people are getting hot, the kids are going crazy, and all of a sudden you'll hear like some couple fighting. And you know that probably they're not like that in real life, but in Disney World, they're just, ooh, we're spending so much money and it's really hot. I'm going to kill you.
You know, one of my favorite things in New York to do in the elevator in the hotel?
I don't even want to know.
That people overhear. Sometimes I'll get in the elevator and one of my friends will be with me.
Do you have friends?
Yeah. And I'll say, did they fix that bed bug problem in your room? You can just watch all the people in the elevator.
That's so lame. What?
Fun.
It's fun. Steve,
I would kill you.
Steve.
Because you have to go like 25 floors, and then we just talk about the bed bug problem in our room, and we just and of course the person I'm with is like picks up on it, and he's like, yeah, I think they got them all. And then everyone, you could just see the expression on the people's face, and they like slowly like start to inch away from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
but
I'm
don't
still
do that at Disney World.
I'm still surprised that Steve has a friend. Okay, this is actually going to be a really good. Naomi Taylor actually writes, and I think
is
we
this
can't.
The Naomi Taylor. That. Where do I know that name from?
You're thinking of like, I don't know what.
Naomi Taylor. I don't know.
I don't know.
Like a famous rock star. Singer or something.
You're thinking of that famous model who used to throw her phone at people and she went to court for it or something.
Oh, I'll have to look it up.
But it's her last name isn't Taylor, but she's crazy.
Okay.
Okay. Crazy man. Naomi Taylor writes, first, best, worst Walt Disney World memories. Now, I don't think we can actually do this tonight because it would take too long,
yeah.
But I think, Naomi, we're going to make this a show topic because I love this. So, you guys like it? Yes.
Sure.
Okay, we should do this one. That's a good one. Right, so there's some really good questions that we got on the Disney Dreamers page, but unfortunately, some of them are better for show topics. So I think we're going to take some of these and make show topics out of them. So Jesse Barrett asks, what's a tour you wish Disney offered?
Ooh,
I got that one.
Which one?
I do too.
I wish that they would offer a tour for a good in-depth tour for the younger kids. Not little ones, but like your tweens.
That's
because
a great
most
idea.
Of the really good tours, the behind-the-scenes tours, are all 16 and up.
Mm.
And that's something that my kids are dying to do. And I promised them on their 16th birthday that I would take them to do the behind-the-scenes tour. because it's as soon as they can do it.
I like that idea.
So Barbie, for me, that would be.
Yeah.
And you know what else would be a good tour? A tour of all the hotels and Christmas decorations during the holidays.
That'd be awesome too. I'm stealing yours. Those are my answers.
Sharpie, what's your favorite?
I would like to for them to do an in-depth transportation tour. They have the steam trains.
This out.
Why is that?
I'm teasing.
Oh, they have the steam train tour, but I would also like to tour the monorails and like learn all about that. But of course the buses, but I would also like to tour where they service and maintain the boats. Whenever we stayed at Bay Lake Tower a few years ago, our villa overlooked the channel area where they bring the boats in and out. Every morning and take them and put them away at night. And I was just very fascinated by watching them kind of wake the boats up each morning and put them to bed. I just thought that was the coolest thing.
Yep.
But learning also to get behind the scenes and see how they dispatch buses and all that kind of stuff, I just think it would be really cool.
Yeah. There's so many things like the monorail station and back, or they have their, it's like their own city. They have everything. Like they have how they do their own fireworks, or the tunnels you get to see in one of the tours, but maybe some more in-depth things there, or behind the scenes at Epcot, or there's just so many cool things as a Disney geek. And then some of the rides, like more in-depth, where you could see the ride systems, maybe before the park opens, and how they, you know, are getting the rides ready, or you go through Dinosaur with the lights on.
Or see, that would be cool. You can do something like that on the Backstage Magic Tour.
Yes.
You get to see the backstage of the American Adventure Pavilion.
Yep.
You get to see the backstage of Tower of Terror. I just think that seeing the backstage of Tower of Terror and seeing how many levels of safety and security that they have for ride safety was just incredible.
Yeah. Because I love all that kind of stuff. That's that's the stuff that's really fun to do.
I'd just like to take a second, too, to thank Ed for his thoughtful comments and all the nice things he said to us. Ed, we really appreciate it. And we really appreciate that you listen. And good luck to your son in his new job at Disney World.
Okay.
Do you want to read one more?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Jesse Barrett writes, Lauren, red wine, white wine, a glass of wine in each hand. Which one?
White wine.
White wine? Okay.
You like white wine?
She does. Do you not remember that?
Yeah,
she likes
does.
Her white.
Oh, she was big
I'm a
at
white girl.
Yeah.
I like my white wine. My Pinot Grigio.
I like the red.
How about this one? How about this one? Steve, do you prefer long walks on the beach or cuddling in front of the fire in a snow covered cabin?
See,
is that Jesse also?
Yes. He's got a few of them up here.
Rats. I was hoping it was like some hot mouse chat listener.
Yeah. Well, Jesse's kind of hot.
It's Jesse. Jesse's a hot mouse chat listener.
Man. You know, I don't like cold weather.
You don't like cold weather. And
I like Florida, so I would rather do the beach.
And it's hard to snuggle with that pillow, isn't it?
It is. Not even the answer to this.
All right, here's another one. Also from Jesse, and he writes, Chris, what is it about you that makes you so amazing? And he hashtagged it, I love Chris Wood.
Wow.
Thank you, Jesse. I will send you that money.
He must have known that you were going to be reading these.
I know. I told him.
I think I just lost respect for you.
Okay. I think I just threw up in my mouth.
Stop it.
This unabashed Chris Wood loving.
Jesse's my little buddy. He's my little buddy. So anyway. Okay. And he does also write, Chris Sharps, why do you continue to punish the listeners with your puns?
Oh, punish. Oh.
Yes, he came up with that all by himself.
Yeah.
Good one, Jesse.
Okay.
It's a source of joy. A gift to me, but a curse to the world.
That's so true.
Let's go ahead and finish up with one good one. And Kyle, who asked a question earlier, also writes, and I actually think this is very important, we are renting DVC points and doing things a la carte. I've bought trip insurance in the past on our package, but I'm not sure that's something I can do this time around. If I can, what are some reputable trip insurance companies? And I know, Lauren, this is your area.
An outside company. We usually use Allianz.
Yeah, Allianz, we've found, has it's got several different plans that you can pick from. They're all better price-wise and coverage-wise than the standard insurance you would get if you booked at
and
Walt Disney World.
Have to upgrade to like some crazy high insurance through them. A lot is covered.
Yeah.
I think it goes without saying, if you're renting DVC points, you have to insure it. And I would insure it to the max, and I would get cancellation for any reason if I was doing
which
that.
Which is going to make your insurance price very high.
Is it a lot higher than the normal price?
Yeah, it's significantly higher.
Ooh, like
it's like 100% higher. It's probably 60% higher.
Oh, that's not bad. When you consider that the insurance is actually pretty reasonable to begin with.
Yeah, but if you're looking at $150 and now it's another $60 on top of that, you're looking at over $200 for insurance. If on a $5,000 vacation, in the scheme of things, that's not bad.
There's absolutely no way. Like, I never insure my Disney trips, my packages or whatever, but I'm not insure.
I would insure like a cruise. Because you don't know things with the airlines, if you're going to get there or if there's going to be a problem on the ship.
Well,
it's
always better
ship.
To insure yourself through the cruise line directly, because then they guarantee that they'll get you to the ship.
Yes.
Yeah, that's that's a true struggle of the thought of booking shore excursions. I can't speak this evening. Is the thought of booking shore excursions directly through the cruise line comes with that guarantee of getting back to the ship, where you can save literally hundreds of dollars by booking them on your own, but it does not come with that guarantee of getting you back to the ship. So it's tough.
And when you're on an island and you don't really know anything about the island, that could be a little bit intimidating.
Correct.
The other thing you want to look out for with the insurance is to make sure that you have, if you need it for pre-existing, make sure you read the fine print on that and make sure that you're, like, a lot of times you have to pay for it at the time of booking for it to be considered for pre-existing. So be careful for that too. Just a little side note.
Okay. I think we should probably finish up, because I'm sitting in front of Steve's computer, and on his Facebook page, there's a thing that says like the Disney Singles Facebook page, and I'm really tempted to like it for him. So before I get him into any trouble,
oh my gosh,
I should get away from his computer. Okay, so Lauren, is there something you want to tell the listeners about?
I would love to. So, and actually, I think our anniversary is coming up next week, our official anniversary, isn't it?
Ooh, is this the September paper one? It's Are you going to get me something special?
It's 4 years.
That's a gold anniversary, isn't it?
No, we got a ways to go for
we got
that.
A ways to go.
I think it's platinum, actually.
It'll be 4 years. What do you get for 4 years?
Oh, no.
Pain and suffering.
Somebody write in and tell us what we're supposed to get for 4
years.
Yes. And but make it good so Steve has to pay up.
Right. Yeah, because Steve, you know what? Did you get us anything last year?
I don't know. I think,
nothing.
I think it's paper mache for 4 years.
Actually,
can you get me a big paper mache? I don't know.
I don't know.
Why don't we get a paper mache mouse ears?
Do you know what? They got me a housewarming gift for my new house, and it was awesome. It's a haunted mansion thing. Thank you, Steve. That was very nice of you. Or Lisa, I should say.
What, our anniversary is September 29th, right? Our official anniversary?
Wow. I expect flowers.
Women always remember these things.
Shh.
Hey, it's been a long 4 years.
I know. God, can you believe we've been doing this for 4 years? When we started, Brooke was a baby. And my twins were not much older. They were little, too. They were little toddlers. And
Steve,
now
I think we should put together a best of show.
Oh.
Yeah,
do you know what? We actually need a blooper. No, we don't need that.
No,
you don't keep any
that.
Of that, do you? Thank God.
No, there's no bloopers. He puts them on.
I know, right? Forget it. Who cares? We've done really well.
Himself.
We've done really well not to cuss, not to really mess up badly. We have never said anything really horrible on the air. Well, except that one time. Never
well, Steve
mind.
Usually edits that stuff,
though.
Yes. So Mouse Chat is turning 4 years old. And we would love to celebrate with everybody. We are having our Mouse Chat fan meetup the week of October 17th. It's going to be Saturday and Sunday that weekend. So we're going to start off with breakfast and our first ride of the day in Animal Kingdom. Chris Sharps is going to actually show us why Animal Kingdom is so awesome.
It is awesome.
And that's going to start at 8:45 in the morning. We're going to do breakfast in a private dining area, and we're going to do the first ride of the day on the Kilimanjaro Safaris. And then we're going to, that, and the cost of that is $40 per person. And there is a, an area on the website, on the mousechat.net website, where you can actually go and sign up for that. The other events we're doing is same day. We're going to be doing a scavenger hunt at 11 a.m. inside the Animal Kingdom. It's going to be fun. Actually, I think it's going to be challenging. So yes, if you want to be challenged, come out for that. That is a free event, and you do just need to sign up for that on the Mouse Chat website. And then the last thing we're doing is we're going to do Eat Around the World with Mouse Chat on Sunday, October 19th. We're going to start that around, what time, 11 a.m., I think, in Mexico. And we are just going to do a little food and wine festival that day. There's also a spot to register for that on the website. So sign up. We're getting ready to go in just less than a month. So we hope to see you guys there. So we're going to wrap it up here. And thank you for listening to us rant.
Did we rant tonight? I thought we were good.
No, we were actually pretty good, I think. Yes. So thank you for listening to Mouse Chat. And thank you to Pixie Vacations for sponsoring us. And we will see you next week.